Welcome to Paint Radio. I'm your host, Kevin Hoffman, the editor of APC Magazine, the magazine for painting contractors. And today I'm here to tell you about a really cool program that's helping to get kids involved with painting. It's a Skills USA-like program. It's called the Construction Ready Career Expo First Annual Painting Competition. And it was put on by Harrison Contracting out of Georgia. Today, I have with us the voice of the Harrison brand. His name is Sean Gillespie.
Thanks, Kevin. Great to be here. Thanks for letting us talk with you for a bit.
Also joining us is Laura Mullen. She's an executive assistant at Harrison Contracting and really the architect of this program.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Okay. Well, the first thing I want to ask about is the contest. So how did you come up with this idea?
I would say it originated, like I said, more from a basic need, which is, okay, like everyone else in the construction trade, we have an aging workforce. I think the average age right now is 46. In the painting world, it's even a little bit older than that. And so you start looking at that and you start thinking, what's the continuity plan for that? Where are we going to get the labor force for the next decade? And at some point that begins, like most general contracting firms have done, with educating the next wave of youth going into college to say, you can go to college, you can, you know, rack up a lot of debt, you can spend a lot of money getting an education in order to earn money. But there's still going to need to be a lot of construction work that's done and a lot of people facilitating that.
Why do you think that painting kind of fell out of fashion? Is it a communication issue that they think it's just painting? They don't realize that it's social media and sales and all these other things?
I don't think that it's taught in the schools. I think in most vocational schools, it's these are the trades and painting is never mentioned as a trade. I think that's what a lot of it has to do with.
It's almost like a forgotten trade. Why is it overlooked?
It's a forgotten trade. So we need to bring it back up front and it's not forgotten.
So
there's an aspect of it too, Kevin, that and I wanted Laura to answer that. And I'm a 39-year paint guy. I've been in the industry for that long. So one, I'm jaded. Two, I'm biased. Three, I'm too close to it. So Laura's been working with a painting contractor. She's got familiarity in the trade, but what, 4 or 5 years?
Four.
So I'm going to give you my take on it. If you ask that question again, the way you asked it.
To you?
Yeah, ask that question again. And I want us both to answer it, but ask it again.
Why do you think that, painting as a career, painting companies as a career has fallen out of fashion with young people over the course of the past couple decades?
So I think social media has an impact on that. Lack awareness. There's not an awareness of that trade as a career opportunity. And I would say that it has been commoditized. This is the tenured paint guy in me speaking. The industry has commoditized itself. It's painting. Anybody can do that. Can they? We paint. We'll do 5,000+ projects a year. You can make a lot of money or lose a lot of money if someone doesn't know, how am I going to approach this project? How am I going to approach this room? How am I going to approach painting that doorway? Is there a right way to do that? Is there a wrong way to do that? What's the most efficient way to do that? What's the most efficient and safe way to do that? Because if you have a safety issue on a project, it can cost a lot of money to resolve, not only on the site itself, but internal training and things that you have to do to bring everybody back up to a level and a standard. And so for me, I think it's looked at as a non-craftsman's job. It's not licensed like some of the other trades. And so my take is the old crony is it's become heavily commoditized and people don't look at it as a craftsman's role anymore like it once was.
Laura,
perspective on that.
Coming from the outside with fresh eyes, you know, four years ago.
Back then is people don't think of it as a trade.
Yeah.
It's not taught in the schools, it's not taught anywhere that's a trade that has a huge opportunities for tons of jobs, workforce development, all these things that I had no idea that the painting was like this until I came here.
Mm-hmm.
Had no idea that Harrison Contractor was even in Billerica, Georgia.
Right, where you were doing all this work nationwide.
Right, and had no idea.
So we hear that a lot.
It's just awareness and being present and always seeing like, oh my gosh, what is that? Let me look and see what that is. What is PCA? What can I do there?
Yeah.
It's just not having, kids not having the avenue to know what it is.
What was the biggest surprise for you, Laura, when you came in as an outsider into a painting company? What were the things that you didn't know about it that you were surprised by?
There was a lot I didn't know about. I think how big it was and the career opportunities that were inside of the painting world, of all the things that you could do. It's crazy to me. It's still crazy to me.
I think just being in a position to observe it from a branding perspective, like, and being, I think we all kind of felt really a lot of pride about, hey, we're on the ground floor of something that could be industry transcending. And I know that sounds very corny, but you know, there was an aspect of that where you could look at it and you could see when we started talking to some of the kids that had no idea about painting, they looked at a rubric that Laura had created with the team and they studied it. Maybe they didn't study it at all. And then they started doing it. And we had one person that was painting with their finger a little bit. We had another person that would hop over here and hop over here and hop over here. And then we had some of our team, each of the painting contractors had some of their senior superintendents there to help coach and mentor. And there was someone on our team that just does a phenomenal job of teaching. We had someone with another contractor here in town that was so incredibly engaged with the kids that were working in his area. And you step back and you look at it and you start realizing that the kids are actually leaning in without knowing they're leaning in. They're leaning into it and understanding it. And then suddenly something kind of clicks and they see something they've never seen before. When you think about taglines from Sherwin-Williams and PPG, cover the earth, protect and beautify the world. Paint is the first thing you see when you walk into a building. And it's the last thing people think of. I love that you just said that. And it's also the last thing that's touched. We're the last ones finishing the job. You walk in and they're checking everything. They're doing their final punch walk. I guarantee you there's a painter somewhere with a brush in his hand touching up something. And my point with all of that is, people don't see it. She's right. People don't recognize it. And then when they finally make that connection, they start looking around and they're like, everything's got paint on it. So there's this sort of natural affinity. It's like, okay, we're in this business that has funded so many lives and supported so many lives. Not just for us, but for hundreds of thousands of painters across the country. And you kind of want to like make a mark on that, leave a legacy. And that's been, I think, Calvin's vision from the start is, hey, I just want to make sure that we're taking care of our needs going into the future. But we have a chance here to impact something. And when someone says, you should touch that up for free, we can say, hang on. According to the standard in the industry, this is what a touch-up is about. And this is the standard by which we all should do it. Because then you know, it's funny. We, for a period of time, were involved in racing. And one of the things about racing is it's the driver that makes the difference. Now, the teams are all involved, and they're all strategizing to get the most out of the setup of the car. But every single car has to go through the same tech review before they get on the track. And you're not in the race unless you go through the tech and you get a check mark. And so at the end of the day, we all want the playing field to be somewhat level. And it comes down to the uniques that each company brings to the table to make them more efficient and more cost effective. And, you know, hopefully a better experience. And that's the decision maker. And so that's all the heartbeat of what's led to this. And, you know, now we have a resident expert in terms of setting up a painting competition. I'm sure she's loving that I'm saying that. But that laugh right there just kind of was like, yeah, I'll kill you later. But the reality of it is that that's kind of what we started, and we want to keep it going. And the only way we're going to do that is if we get more people on board.
Laura, how did that competition actually work? I mean, how were they judged? What were the different skills they had to demonstrate?
So we had a whole scoring sheet. I don't have in front of me of how they were judged. If they cleaned and prepped the area properly. We had these like huge triangle rooms, as he would call them. They were vignettes. So we had those set up. And they could paint. Some had windows, some had doors, making sure they were clean, cutting in. We actually had them do some prep work where some of them had to caulk some holes, some of them had to do some sanding. So we judged them all on those type of steps. Kind of like, think about them being on a job site and assessing the situation, what they need to do to make sure that it looks good when they're finished.
And were they just coming to this cold? Did they have any practice? How did they know how to do those basic things?
So that's a great question. We actually sent out rubrics to schools and through Career Expo, and they sent them out to all the schools who kids who want to participate got this little booklet prior. We did put out products that they shouldn't use to see if they had a little bit of product knowledge. We did put out different types of caulking that wouldn't work if you painted it. So we tried to, you know, make sure they had some awareness of products that were out there as well.
The power in that, Kevin, I think too, was, and this was very clever as Laura and Calvin worked on trying to put it together. And we had other people involved, but, you know, typically someone has to be the front runner and bring people along. And so, you know, Laura became that for the competition overall.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Behr Paint. Whether it's a color change or a problem on the wall, any pro will tell you that if you start with a trusted Kills primer and pair with top quality Behr paint, you'll get the best results possible. Pairing Kills primer with Behr paint means using less paint and finishing faster, saving you both time and money. Kills prepares, Behr finishes. Together, they deliver better results exclusively at the Home Depot, the exclusive big box home improvement retailer for Kills primers. Go to Behr.com/pro to connect with a dedicated rep that will take care of your needs.
And part of that was we could tell them everything we want them to do and make that very uniform, or this is the path we went down, which is here's all the information available to you, and we want to see what you do on your own, because it's very much a trade where you can learn your way into it. It's not always been our experience that just telling someone how to do something is the best outcome. Sometimes letting them learn and understand, wow, it was really hard for me to try and cut in on that wall using my finger to apply the paint. Yep, probably want to use some of the tools. Or, hey, I started painting and there's a bunch of stuff in the paint. Yep, did you clean the wall? Did you wipe it down before you started painting? And these are all things, again, people don't see paint. So why would they see the painting contractor who's spending all the time? We joke about it. I mean, the majority of what you're spending your time on with the labor is the setup and the prep to be able to do it efficiently. So that's where the magic comes in.
For sure. How, Laura, were you able to get into the schools, and how many schools were you able to get into? And I mean, that seems to me to be the complicated part.
So we actually got in the schools through Construction Ready. They have a program for the trades, and they sent all the information out to the schools in the state of Georgia that had a Construction Ready program in the schools. Not necessarily painting, they had some type of trade in the school.
Yeah, and Kevin, to explain the way the career, the career expo, how that works. They'll bring in and invite kids from the schools to come in from all over the state over a 2-day period in February. And so you have in the neighborhood of 10 to 12,000 kids coming in over 2 days. They come in to this massive trade show hall at the Georgia World Congress mm-hmm. Center. And there's one way in, and then they loop all the way around and they exit back out the same on the other side of the same way they came in. And they basically get to see all of the trades that are there in the construction industry. There's lots of booths. And then in the middle is the competition part for Skills USA. So we didn't necessarily have to go to them. I see that as the next iteration of this is taking it on the road, so to speak, having a trailer set up and trying to find a way to go do some one-off things regionally. But for now, we're trying to actually get this thing where take advantage of them coming to us.
What was the reaction of the students who came? I mean, they were looking at all these other different professions as well. Did you hear anything about what they thought about painting?
So I actually think that our booth was the number one visited booth and the most excitement of the Career Expo, which is huge because they have lots of interactive other booths. And then ours was very, very, had a lot of excitement in it. So people are definitely interested. They're looking for more, for sure.
Tell them about our second place. Hang on one sec. Our winner, because he showed up, watched, and then he.
So we had our second place winner actually did not sign up, and he came on a bus from a school. He's like, "Hey, I want to do that." I'm like, "If you sign these forms, you can do it." And he actually went in one second place, and actually looking to go into the trade.
Yeah.
Why were kids when once they were exposed to it? It sounds like they were super excited. I mean, what drew them to it?
I think one, you could tell it was a competitive setup mm-hmm. because the way the booth was structured, you had these four vignettes in the middle, and then you had a walk through this way. So you could walk through the booth and see this contractor, this manufacturer, and so on. But in the middle, you could see that there was something going on. There was this activity and there was people doing something and film crew. Laura had contracted a local group to come in and actually take video and stills. And then we broadcast, we kind of recorded and did interviews and stuff. So all that was kind of coordinated so that we could capture the moment. So when people come up and see that, they're like, "Hey, what's going on?"
Over here.
And that's what happened with our second place winner. He came in and looked at it and, you know, got into it. And I think probably the most incredible part of that was when we presented him with the check in front of us, he called his dad and showed his dad that he had won. And that was a pretty cool moment because
he had no idea that we were giving a scholarship.
Yeah.
He had no idea.
He just wanted to paint.
He wanted to get in the competition, you know? So I think part of it is making it visible, making it fun, and educating people to Laura's point, like letting people know, hey, this is a trade, a very low barrier to entry. You know, I'm not saying I think it's a good thing that there's not certification. That does raise a standard, but it's bureaucratic and politicized. And I'm not saying we have to have that in our industry, but because it's a low barrier of entry, you can get into it without having to go to a painting school. What we want is people to get into it and then get some education and get some experience. And then maybe they start a company. Maybe they're the next Harrison Contracting, or maybe they're the next ones running Harrison Contracting when we're done. So either one of those works.
What does happen? Are you going to track these kids, bring them back as interns? What's the next step for their painting careers?
That's a great question. I think we're trying to figure out what that looks like, because each of the kids that we talked to, our overall winner is, she going to Georgia? Was she not?
She was going to Georgia.
She's going to Georgia. I think, did she not also have an opportunity at Georgia Tech? I think I remember hearing that. So yes. She's very smart. So some are going to college and now they just have an awareness level that this is out there and is opportunistic. And again, I would say this, it isn't about just those kids that were in that competition, but it's about having a path where people, where we can mass educate bigger numbers and have a competition where there's lots more visibility. Because we had three winners here. I wish we could have had, 10, but we don't want it to just be participation trophy type of thing. We want it to be meaningful. You had to do some work. You had to learn, because that's what we have to do on every job. We have very skilled, tradespeople and very competent craftsmen, and every job is different and unique. You have to think your way through all of that. So I think the answer to your question is we want to continue to expand to get more people in it. I think there's going to always be a little bit of a connection to the very first one we did, the people that won. And, maybe there's an opportunity there where people might want to come back and be a part of helping the next group learn more. But I think for us, it's about trying to find, I don't think this is any more just about where are we going to find the next labor team for our company. I think this has now become a crusade, if I can use that word very gently. The opportunity here is let's make this thing about the industry and people being aware that this is opportunistic. We could get into painting, we could make an impact. And the hope is maybe from that, people start asking us questions. Hey, you guys got any openings? Could I come do something for you guys? I mean, that would be great.
And for another painting contractor out there who may be hearing about this and wanting to replicate it locally, Laura, maybe you could talk to this. Like, how should someone go about supporting this cause?
A good question. I would say
call Laura Mullins at
supporting causes. Maybe start the same thing in their district, and they have something similar, skills USA, in their state, and they can call me and I can help them walk through that process and what it looks like. And hoping next year is going to be bigger and better and work through some of the kinks that we had. I don't know if we had many kinks, but we had some. So,
well, I think the other opportunity is maybe starting something on their own. It takes a lot of effort. This is multi-year effort that, Calvin's been sort of, a guy on a hill trying to get a vision going and not really sure how or what that looks like. And we tried many different things. And so this is what it's evolved into. So there might be people out there who are in Georgia who are like, hey, I want to jump in, reach out to us. And maybe we can get them on board to help us. And once we get Georgia to a point where maybe it is a state competition, then we start trying to get other states in it as well. Well, I think the other thing is we'd really love for the associations, the industry associations, to be looking at this as an avenue and a pathway. I think our industry partners, are the manufacturers, the firms that we work with, can see that, but it's not scalable yet. So we've got to get it there, and I think then it becomes something where everybody can benefit from.
Wow. I mean, it's amazing. I think it's so important that our industry is doing something like this. And I love that you guys are getting behind it.
Well, and that's why we wanted to get on the call, and that's why we wanted to talk about it. I don't want to say that I think the opportunity here overall is just, let's make sure people understand this is something that's happening. And there might be something like Career Expo or Construction Ready in another state, and we don't know what that is yet, but I think we can collectively take this learning. And for us, this isn't even really about commercial versus residential. Our industry seems to be split that way, and I think there are a lot of residential contractors that get into commercial work. There's some commercial that say, hey, I want to get back into residential. But overall, we're all working in the same trade. We're all craftsmen in a unique way, and we're all trying to get to the next level. And we need the next workforce to show up, and they're not just going to knock on our door. We got to kind of take the message to them. So we need everybody in that. And this that's why it was good to try and jump on this and maybe get something going to tell people about it.
Thank you, Sean and Laura, for being on the program. And thank you for what you're doing for the next generation of painters out there. I want to invite everyone at home to think about what you could do in your community, whether it's an internship, an educational program, or a Paint It Forward campaign. And I hope you'll join us next time on Paint Radio.